You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Adrian Ortaigui claims his maiden European Tour title with victory at the Saltire Energy Paul Laurie match play.
Very, very happy. I knew I was playing well before for the week, but I played just very, very good all six matches, and it's just very, very special to have my first European Tour victory.
And the Spaniard wasn't the only first-time winner this week. Jason Norris soared through the field to take the Fiji International in style.
It's taken me 21 years to have a win like this, and now I've got to start in Europe and Asia as well as Australia, so I was going to quit the game about a year ago, and now I'm playing all over the world, so it means a lot to me.
Two tournaments spanning two continents. We'll look back at the best of the action, and we'll also preview the next event, the Made in Denmark. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined this week by John Hawksworth. John, how are you?
Remarkably well. How are you, Dan? Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you as well. I'm very well. And I was very impressed with Adrian Ortaigui, who produced a stunning fight back to beat home favourite Marcel Siem 2-1 to claim his first European Tour title at the Saltire Energy Paul Laurie match play. It had been coming to a certain extent because Adrian had been playing well. Top 20s, successive top 20s coming into the event. And obviously he's got a bit of match play experience via his amateur days. He played remarkably well over the course of the week.
Yeah, he did a lot under par. Last few weeks he's won about just over 400 grand, and it's only top 100 keep the card this year on the Race to Dubai. So he's had a run. Yeah, you mentioned his amateur career, very good match play record. And up against the tough guy, Marcel Siem, who's also been struggling a bit, 125th going into the start of the week. He's not that now, he's gone to 87th, but he's still not safe. He's won many times on tour, Marcel Siem, but let it go, I thought. Early into the back nine, he missed a tiddler. An absolute tiddler, and lost the hole. Came out of a bunker. I think he was on 11. He missed from no more than 2 feet. That rocked him, and then Ortaigui, the Spaniard, won 4 holes in a row, and suddenly the game completely changed.
Just take us back to the start of the event, because, John, this is do or die, wasn't it, when it came to match play? We've seen the match play format just shaken up a little bit in various tournaments over the last few years, but this was, if you win, you're in. If you're out, you go home right from the get-go.
Yeah, I like match play. I don't think we play a massive amount. Well, I don't think we play enough of it, but it's nice to every now and again. It's a toughie on the sponsors. You know, if you've got a lot of name players there, they're not guaranteed to get through. Match play can throw up all sorts of results. And did we see Siem and Ortaigui in the final? Maybe not, but they're both quality players. A lot of good players there as well. But yeah, I like match play. You know, as you say, you win, you're in. You lose, you're out.
As regards the earlier rounds for Ortaigui, he got the better of Gary Stahl first up, then Nino Battasio. Ashley Chesters was brushed aside. Alex Canapa was beaten as well. Alejandro Canizares beaten 6-5. He played supremely well to make the final. There were no stutters at all. He didn't have to play the 18th hole.
No, a good golf course that as well, actually. I've been to Bad Greece back. It's a good match play venue. But Siem played well as well. Not as many under par as Ortaigui. But, you know, match play, you can win shooting 75, you can lose shooting 65. That's what the game brings up. There were some nice victories. One of the ones that stands out for me was Siem, who was a couple down to Robert Rock and then did him at the 19th in the quarterfinals, and then went on to the semi to play the big Swede Johan Carlsson, who has his wife caddying for him, actually. David Drysdale does that as well. It works for some players, but of course, Siem beat Carlsson, who's a big hitter, in the semis to get to the final, where, of course, he was up against the Spaniard Ortaigui, looking for his first victory and getting it.
Marcel Siem also got the better of Julien Ken, Mikko Ilonen, Thomas Detry to get to the quarterfinals, where he got the better, as we mentioned, of Robert Rock and Johan Carlsson. The win over Detry particularly impressive because we've charted the progress of the young Belgian, haven't we, John?
Yeah, we have. He did him 3-2. Detry's a very good player. He's shown promise, hasn't won yet. Still a very young man. Match play, he's used to playing it. But, you know, we mentioned head-to-head, anything can happen. But we've been saying it, if he doesn't win this year, he he'll definitely win next year.
You touched on the final previously. Obviously, Marcel Sim got off to a terrific start. He was three up at the turn. But it's not as if Otegi was playing particularly poorly, because he didn't drop a shot in those opening nine holes.
No.
All pars.
No, yeah, but that's no good at match play.
But it's not as if you're giving holes to your opponent, is it?
No, but pars don't normally win holes at match play. Not at this level, and especially not in the final. No, the turning point for me, I think, came at the par three where he missed that tiddler. Mentally, it would have made a massive difference. Down for Seam, up for Otegi.
He managed to finish with four straight birdies, and again, he didn't have to go down the 18th hole, and a thoroughly deserved success. What next do you think for Otegi?
Well, the tour's based on 72 holes, so it's going to give him a lot of confidence that he has won an event, albeit match play, but of course, he'll want to win a stroke play one as well. The good thing is €171,000 first prize, so he'll get exempt through to the end of 2018. He gets the rest of this year and the whole of next year exempt. So he can plan differently. He's obviously going to do his world ranking, his confidence bonuses. Bonuses, Dan. Yeah, they're all built into the game nowadays. It can only lift you, so we'll see what happens. I expect him to kick on from here. He's a very good player indeed and highly rated.
Well, time now for some social media reaction. This from tournament host Paul Laurie. Congrats, champ. You were superb all week. And from Ricardo Gouveia. Well done, Adrian Otegi. What a win, my friend. Enjoy the celebrations. And I'm delighted to say that we're now joined by the latest winner on the European Tour, Adrian Otegi. Congratulations. Great playing all week. You can be very proud of your performance, Adrian.
Yes, of course. I'm very proud and very happy. It was just a brilliant week. I played very well from Thursday to Sunday. I just played one of my best golfs of my career. I was very, very accurate with iron shots. I was putting the ball pretty close to the pin, and then my putting was good as well. The final match as well was very special. Winning after being three down after nine holes, so I'm just very happy.
And there's no doubt that the win has been coming, hasn't it? Because you've been playing very well, consecutive top 20 finishes coming into the week.
Yeah, I've been playing very well in the last few weeks, in the last couple of months, especially after the French Open at the Golf National in Paris. I think that gave me some confidence. I did some work as well with my coach in Madrid to try to improve the attack angle, and that worked. That gave me some confidence, and recently I've been playing some good golf, and luckily the victory came this week at the Paul Laurie match play.
Did you think the turning point came early in the back nine when Marcel missed that short par putt?
Well, Marcel played very, very good on the front nine. He almost didn't miss a shot. He was hitting shots to the pin very, very close, and he held some good putts as well for par. Obviously, I just tried to push him, playing my best, and he made a couple of mistakes. And then I played a really good golf, made 5 under in the last 8 holes, finishing with 3 birdies. I mean, I think I just played very good golf and didn't really give him a chance after we were all square.
You've got your first win now on the Race to Dubai. Of course, a match play event. What's next for you?
Well, next will be Crans-Montana for me. I'm very, very motivated to play the end of the season. I want to keep growing in the Race to Dubai rankings. I want to keep growing in the world rankings. And I just want to keep enjoying and keep playing good golf. I got very good tournaments and very good events coming up. And I want to just keep enjoying my golf.
And just on the format, match play, is it something that you've always enjoyed playing?
Yeah, to be honest, it's the first time I play match play since I turned pro in 2011. I also won the British Boys in 2010 playing match play, and it's the format I really like, because it's quite a mental format. You play against one guy and there's nothing else in the world. I really like that. I really like the competition, and obviously when you play well and you give yourself chances, and I mean, you put pressure on the other one, and it's a format I really enjoy because of that.
There was a great picture, Adrian, of you and Olazabal when he used to coach you. How inspirational has he been?
Yeah, obviously, Olazabal has been a very inspiring person in my golfing life. He's from San Sebastian as well, from my hometown. I know him for many years since I was a kid. And, I mean, winning two Masters, being able to practice with him sometimes when I was a kid and giving me advices, I think I was a very, very lucky kid.
Adrian, well, thanks for joining us. We really enjoyed watching you play in Germany and we wish you all the best for the remainder of the season.
Thank you very much. Thanks to all of you. And I'll keep playing good golf for the rest of the season.
Well, many thanks to Adrian for joining us on the Race to Dubai show. It is the Spaniard's first title, as we've been discussing, in his 123rd European Tour event. The sixth Spanish win of the year. Sergio Garcia has won twice. Kiros, Ram, Rafa Cabrera-Bello as well. Plus, he moves up from 59th to 41st on the Race to Dubai. And he's now ranked 141st in the world, up from 262nd. Is he a player, John, that you'd mark down this season as maybe one to watch or someone you've enjoyed watching play over the course of the last 12, 24 months or so?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I thoroughly enjoy watching him. I think he's a talent. He's typical Spaniard. He's a bit swashbuckling. He's not frightened of getting involved. And, of course, he's got his first victory. And to beat Marcel Siem in Germany when the guy's three up, to stay stuck in and get the job done, very good indeed.
Yeah, speaking of the loser, there has to be a loser in a final, of course. Let's hear from Marcel Siem.
I was totally in control. Just had to keep on making birdies and pars. He didn't make any mistakes all day. Our back nine had a pretty bad chip on 10 and pretty bad chip on 11. You know, gave him the chance to get back into the match. Otherwise, I think it would have been a pretty short round. Lost my confidence through that. My backswing putting got shorter and shorter and couldn't get the ball to the hole, to be honest. That was all week. I mean, I played really solid, and you know that's what I have to work on. I have to lengthen my backswing, and under pressure, you know, you tend to get shorter anyways, and you have a short backswing anyways. Then that doesn't help. I ran out of steam a little bit as well. You know, I said to guy 3 holes to go, all square. A little tired, but that's no excuse. I mean, everybody has to do that. I'm really upset. Really disappointing. I was right there on a silver plate for me today.
He's obviously disappointed because he didn't win, but he's not had the best of time over the last 18 months or so. So when he reflects on the tournament, to pick up second place, I think he should be proud of his performance.
I think he'd be very annoyed. Three up. When you get three up at match play and you're going well, and he said there he was a bit tired to his caddy with 3 holes to play, that's when you've got to really dig in and get the job done. You're up. It's a lot of mental switch in match play, because even when you get to all square, the guy's still got to win a hole to get ahead of you. When you're one up, he's got to win 2 holes. If you've been three up and you go back to one, he's still got to win 2 holes to get ahead of you. It's how you deal with it mentally. A little bit tired. Yeah, he might have been a little bit tired, but he's only got 3 holes of the championship left. That's when you've got to really stick in. I think he'd be gutted that he's lost that.
As the mental aspect of the game, is that the issue with Marcel Siem? We've seen him being hot-headed on the fairways in previous years. Is that something that he still struggles with?
I think it's the same with all players. They all beat themselves up. You'll never see a golf pro slap himself on the back and say, well played. It just comes with the game. So the mental side of it, maybe a little bit. When you've not been playing great and then you've got a chance to win again, sometimes it's hard to get across the line because you forget a little bit, but he certainly had a chance of 3 up.
Well, also on the Sunday, John, we had the third, fourth place playoff match between Johan Carlsson and Alejandro Canizares, and it was the Swede that came through, hit some wonderful shots, certainly with his 3 wood, made a couple of eagles as well. He can be proud of his display.
Yeah, he's, as I call, a big, strong unit. Swede, good player. This will do his confidence. Canizares, of course, the son of Jose Maria, who Ryder Cup legend, great match player. Canizares, well, he's finished fourth, hasn't he? But at the end of the day, Carlsson could be very proud, and a nice check to go with it of €67,500.
So a 3-2 success from the Swede, who says he was delighted with his performance.
I felt good in the beginning, and then in the middle, I felt like I gave a few shots away in the middle of the round there and got away a little bit from me. And then it's easy to knock down on yourself, but managed to drain a few good ones. Eagle putt. I think I made 3 eagles today, if you count that last one as an eagle. And that's, I mean, it helps a little bit with the momentum when you do that. it's my best finish ever, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, I'm really happy with that. That's always nice to finish in the top five or even third. So yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Johan Carlsson, who finished third in the match play off the back of 15th in the Scottish Open. We don't have a top 10 for the match play, John, but we do have quarterfinalists, semi-finalists, and of course the winner.
So the beaten quarterfinalists were Alexander Canepa and Chris Paisley. And on the other side was Robert Rock and Anthony Wall. Then in the semi-final, losing was Johan Carlsson and Alejandro Canizares. And then, of course, the final we know was Adrian Ottaegi beating the German Marcel Seam.
Let's move on to the Fantasy Race 2 Dubai tips. Robert Lee went for Paul Dunn, who in the third round lost to Alejandro Canizares, and Jamie Spence went for Bradley Dredge, who went out in the first round. He lost to Victor Dubuisson. So poor performances, John, from our tipsters from last week. I expected more of Messrs. Lee and Spence.
Yeah. Not easy, though, is it?
It's not easy match play.
We wouldn't be sat here if we knew who was going to win.
Well, I'm going to ask you for selections for this week's event shortly, so stand by, caller. In the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, Only Matters in Germany scored you points this week, and it was Justin Messenger who landed the biggest haul. Elizabeth H. still leads the overall global standings, but it's game on as the gap between first and second is less than 300,000 points. Meanwhile, in our Race to Dubai show, Mini League, the Sean Ryder Cup, listener Neil Morrison still leads the way, but a certain Robert Lee had the best week after including both Adrian Ottaegi and Marcel Seam in his lineup. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch at this week's Made in Denmark. Well, the Paul Laurie match play wasn't the only event this week. We also had the Fiji International at the picturesque Natodola Bay Golf Club, where Australian Jason Norris claimed his maiden European Tour title with a four-stroke victory. Come-from-behind success for the Australian, yeah. John, and a long-overdue win for a player who I think had considered giving up the game over the last few years.
44 years of age. Amazing what happens. But he got off to a flyer in the final round. He was 3-under after four. He did bogey five, then he chucked birdies in at 7, 8, and 9. So that really set him up to go out in 31. He was leading for much of the day. Didn't lead overnight, though. That was, who led overnight? Just give me one. Wade Ormsby was leading by one shot overnight. But life-changing for him, because at 44 years of age, when you're thinking of giving the game up, winning on the Race to Dubai now is going to give him an exemption for the rest of this year and the whole of next year. And you would have to say he's late into his career at 44, but good players were there. I mean, Cabrera, major winner, Mike Weir. Of course, Vijay Singh redesigned the golf course. And it's a lovely golf course as well. Absolutely stunning, the views around there. I mean, if you're not into golf, snorkeling and all that, do you do snorkeling down
again? No, not anymore.
I can't imagine it.
No.
But yeah, he did play very well. So rounds of 69, 68, 70, 67. Four subpar rounds on a par 72. As I say, has changed his life and fully deserved, I would say.
Norris tapped him for his par putts at the last to secure the trophy, and the Australian was thrilled to finally get the job done.
My good friend Ace is on the bag, and we just said, let's enjoy the day and stick to our process. And surprisingly, I just felt good all day. I think it was just our day.
Do you think there was one moment out there, or was it 16 or 17, where you thought, yep, I've got this in the bag?
No, there's a lot of tough tee shots out here. I think after my tee shot on 18 is actually when I felt comfortable, because you can quite easily rack a number up here, and such a good course and such big penalties if you hit bad shots. So once I hit my tee shot on 18, I thought, we've got this. But you still got to, you know, my caddy just quieted me down and said, stick to the process and go from there.
The wind wasn't up today, wasn't up yesterday either. I suppose that gave you a bit of confidence to attack the pins.
It's pretty rare to see no wind here for a few days. The weather's been awesome. The place, the course is just absolutely brilliant. Everyone has to come here for a game of golf. It's so good. It's on the bucket list for everybody, I think it should be.
You do sense as well, if the wind had have got up, John, the scores would have been very different, because the elements can affect the venue.
Oh, yeah, the wind howls across. I mean, there's nothing to stop it. They had the greens at under 10 on the stimp meter in case it got very windy, so it was playable. Course was in fantastic condition, but he played brilliantly.
So Norris wins by four. We see a course record equaling score from Jazz Jane Watanand of 64, but really they never got close enough to challenge, did they?
Well, no, Jazz Jane Watanand posted that score and then had to kind of sit around. I thought that would have rattled Norris a little bit, but when he got out in 31... I think he proved to himself and everybody else that he was going to win this. And so it was a brilliant performance, but heavy. It was tri-sanctioned, this event. So it was with the Asian Tour, the Australasian Tour and, of course, the European Tour, and a heavy presence from Australia and New Zealand and all over the world, Thailand. So, and, of course, Jasjeong Watanarand is from Thailand, but for Norris at 44, life-changing.
Top 10 from the Fiji International.
So we know Jason Norris wins by 4, tied second Jasjeong Watanarand on 10 under par with David McKenzie and James Marchesani. And then fifth tied Daniel Pearce, Adam Bland, Peter Wilson, Wade Ormsby down to ninth, Jarrod Felton through to Gareth Patterson and Scott Vincent. So that is the top 10, even though there is slightly more than that.
And remember to go to the European Tour Twitter and Facebook pages to see the best shots of the week from both Bad Griesbach and Natadola Bay, as well as other great content. Fantasy Race to Dubai tips from the boys last week. Ryan Fox for Robert Lee, tied 24th in the end at 4 under. I think he was expected to go much better. He was the tournament favourite. Jamie Spence went for Andrew Doate, who finished at 2 under and tied for 35th. I'm reticent to say that it's a little bit better from the boys from the Fiji International, yes, regarding the match play. But Ryan Fox is a player that's caught the eye over the course of this year.
Yeah, came off the Challenge Tour last year. He's had a great time of late.
Showed it well in the PGA, didn't he?
Yeah, big, strong Kiwi. His dad was an All Black, so hard as a dog's head. But he's playing very well. Accrued a lot of money, no need to worry about next year.
In other news, 2016 Race 2 Dubai winner Henrik Stenson has won his first title since last year's Open Championship after claiming the Wyndham Championship on the PGA Tour by one shot. The Swede carded a final round 6 under par 64 to finish 21 under, one shot ahead of American Olli Snyder-Jans. Great win for Henrik, yeah, on a course that he'd not played particularly well at before, hadn't made the weekend in 3 previous visits.
And hasn't had a lot of form of late, but Henrik's one of those players, if he gets it in the groove, he can just rip golf courses a bit with his power. He wasn't using a driver that week, tight golf course, used his 3-wood, hits it, miles his 3-wood, and claims a victory, and suddenly he's back to his best, Stenson.
Elsewhere, Frenchman Clément Sordet has won his 3rd European Challenge Tour title after carding a final round 67 to win the inaugural edition of the Viking Challenge in Norway by 5 shots. And the USA have retained the Solheim Cup after a 16.5-11.5 points win over Europe in Iowa. Julie Inkster's team needed just 4 points for victory on the final day and secured the required total thanks to Lisette Salas's win over Jodie Hewitt-Shadoff in match 7. A dominating display from the Americans, John.
Yeah, absolutely. I think on paper they were always looking stronger, and of course, playing on their own soil, I think it's got to be an advantage. But yeah, they were just too strong for them.
Yeah, fantastic opening day. Lexi Thompson in particular played well, and Tiger Woods on Twitter said, "What an amazing day for at Lexi and the Solheim Cup USA team. That was some inspirational golf. Congrats on winning the Cup." I guess it means that when we get to the Ryder Cup next year, John, it's all about payback for the Europeans.
Well, ideally, there is no finer place to have the Ryder Cup. The atmosphere will be brilliant. But, of course, the Europeans are chasing now because the Americans have the trophy and they won't want to give it back.
Let's look ahead to this week's event next. The Made in Denmark at Himmerland Golf and Spa Resort in the North Jutland region of the country. Thomas Peters won here in 2016, beating Bradley Dredge by 1 shot. Shot a course record equaling 62 in his opening round. John, you know the course. Tell us a little bit about it.
I'll tell you that 62 he shot. He played with Darren Clark, the Ryder Cup captain. He was chasing a Ryder Cup spot, and Darren played with him to have a look at him. What a performance that was. To win the tournament's brilliant. To shoot 62 was unbelievable in front of Clark. Anyway, the golf course is a very nice golf course indeed. A little bit undulating, quick greens, exposed in places, tight in other places, well bunkered. Always get massive crowds there. It's hugely supported. And I've been lucky enough to go for the last couple of years, and it's got a great par 3, 16, which you could, you could chuck an ice cube on there. It's not very far at all. It's only about 85 yards uphill. And they have these squeaky little ducks that they give the crowd. It's like an amphitheatre. They all sit round and welcome the players up. And
this is the 16th, isn't it?
Yeah, the 16th, yeah. It's fantastic. And you'll see it on the coverage.
Yeah, Himmerland Hill, it's known. The crowds gather in their thousands. Speaking of thousands, 7,382 yards. It's not short, John, is it?
Correct. It's not short, no. But these guys hit it miles nowadays. There's a par four, I think it's about 15. They tend to move the tee up to tempt you to drive it. I think it's a great... It's one of my favourite tournaments of the year.
62, the course record, as we mentioned, by Thomas Peters, equaled last year by the Belgian, also held by Christopher Broberg, Joachim Lagergren and Tom Lewis. What type of player suits this course, John? I mentioned that it's relatively long. Do you need to be a very good driver? Do you need to be a very good putter? What do you think is going to be the key attribute this week?
Never do you any harm driving it and putting well. Yeah, it gets quite a bit of thick rough on the golf course as well. You've got to hit it straight. It depends whether it's firm or soft this week. We had some unbelievable rain last year, which softened it up. But I expect it to be a bit fairier. No, I don't think you need to be overly long to win round there.
And some star names teeing up, John. We've got Thomas Peters, defending champion. Martin Kaymer as well, who showed flashes of form this year.
Yeah.
This is going to be good for the galleries, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, world-class players. I tell you what, there's some big bulls over there. They have some monsters. When we drive to the course in the morning, they won't be watching the golf, of course. But, yeah, no, it's brilliant to have it. It'll be a great field. The atmosphere is always unbelievable at the Danish Open.
Andrew Johnson's playing. He's going to revel in the atmosphere, isn't he?
Yeah, and they sell a lot of beef at that event as well. So they'll be shouting his name quite a lot.
Torbjørn Olesen, another player that maybe the locals will get behind.
Oh, they'll go bananas with Olesen. Yeah, all the Danes. Kelson will be playing.
And also Eduardo Molinari, who's
a winner
this year.
Yeah. Yeah, as I say, it is a great field. And it's a place that the players like to go. Robert Carlsen, former winner of the race to Dubai, he's going down there. You've mentioned Olesen, they'll have huge crowds. Victor Dubuisson, Rikard Karlberg, the Swede. I'll tell you who's over from America, which is quite interesting. Harald Varner III.
Interesting.
So
a winner on the European Tour earlier this year.
And John Daly. Mm-hmm. John Daly, once had an interesting chat with him in the airport in Sicily, which we weren't going to now. But nice to see that he's playing. He's a senior, unbelievably now, John Daly, former winner of the Open and the PGA Championship. So, yeah, it's a strong field, a very strong field, and let's hope the weather's all right.
It is a strong field. We need a winner. John, who do you think's going to be lifting the trophy Sunday evening?
I'm going for Olesen.
Because?
He's Danish. He's been playing well.
Mm-hmm.
He's won this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's very popular. I think he swings it great and he'll get revved up by the crowd.
Could the pressure be a little bit too much to handle for him, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think he's a big-time player now. It'd be great. It's like a fifth major, isn't it, winning your own title.
Do you see Olesen as maybe as a Ryder Cupper next year?
I do.
Showed up very well in the WGC event recently, didn't he?
Yeah, I do see him certainly. Well, of course, with another Dane as captain, if he shows any sort of form, I think really he'll have to play his way in rather than a wild pick unless he gets very close. Yeah, I think Olesen's good enough. Plenty good enough to play.
I'm going to go for Bradley Dredge this week. Horses for courses, John. Second, eighth, second in three starts at the venue.
Well, there's nothing wrong. You must come round for dinner.
I'll tell you.
Mm.
So Dredge for me, Olesen for you. That wraps it up from us. Next week we'll review the events in Denmark and also look ahead to the D+D Royal Czech Masters. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you are downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from John Hawksworth.
Ta-ta!
And from myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time.